Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text appointed for our consideration this morning are the last four verses of the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians, as just read from the lectern. On the basis of these four verses, I want to speak to you this morning on the theme, The Two Roads Before Us. In Galatians 3, we find ourselves at the main intersection or crossroads of Holy Scripture, where the two main roads leading in different directions intersect. Like the Galatians, like all Christians, must decide whether what route leads to the true worship of God. Is it the road marked works of the law, or the road marked the hearing of faith, faith in the gospel? We also note that in this crucial chapter of Scripture, the method Paul uses is that both of systematic theology and what is known as biblical theology. The difference between the two is that systematic theology works with specific topics or loci that are found in the Holy Scripture, such as the law or the gospel or Christ or the church and so forth. Biblical theology, on the other hand, deals with the historical nature or the development of biblical revelation. In the words of one of its practitioners, quote, "Biblical theology deals with the process of God's self-revelation as we find it recorded in the Bible." The systematic theme in Galatians 3 focuses on the doctrines of the law and of the gospel, together with their proper distinction. The biblical theological element in Galatians 3 is seen in the sequence mentioned in the chapter. The sequence moves us from 1, God's promise to Abraham, to 2, the giving of the law 430 years later, and then 3, to the fulfillment of both the promise to Abraham and the law given by Moses in the advent and the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning, Galatians 3, verses 26 to 29, is Paul's application to the Galatians and to all Christians of the content of this crucial chapter of the Holy Bible. To catch the import of our text, we need briefly trace through the contents of Galatians 3 in broad strokes. In verses 1 to 5, Paul notified the Galatians that they are at the crossroads where they must now choose between a religion that consists of the works of the law and a religion that consists of the hearing of faith. To choose the former way, the way of the law, is to be bewitched by the devil. To choose the latter way, the gospel, is to be taught by the Holy Spirit of God. In verses 6 to 14, Paul contrasts Abraham's gospel promise and the hearing of faith, which accompanied it in the case of Abraham, with the works of the law that God gave to Israel through Moses. The former way, the way of promise, is the way of blessing. The latter way, the way of the law, is the way of the curse. In verses 15 to 18, Paul tells us that the covenant of promise God made with Abraham is not dependent upon the keeping of the law, which was given to Israel 430 years after the promise was already confirmed by God to Abraham. In verse 19, then, Paul tells the Galatians why the law was given. It had the basic purpose of showing that sin was a transgression against the very God that gave it. The law, according to St. Paul, was added to the Abrahamic promise. Historically, 430 years later, but not conditionally. In verses 20 to 22, Paul cites the law as not being against the promise made to Abraham. It simply had the purpose of revealing the true nature of sin as transgression, and of leading us to Jesus Christ, the Savior from that sin. In verses 23 to 25, then, Paul restricts the time of the application of the law of Moses to Israel in the period between Moses and Jesus. When Jesus came, he not only fulfilled the promise that God had made personally to Abraham, but he also kept the requirements of the law given to Israel by the hands of a mediator, that is, by Moses. So then, what are the Galatians and Christians of all kinds to make of this information Paul has set before us in Galatians chapter 3? He speaks of the proper distinction between the law and the gospel, and he speaks of the historical progression from the time of our father Abraham through the mediatorship of Moses to the Savior Jesus Christ. The four verses of our text, which conclude Galatians chapter 3, tell us the following. In verse 26, we find that bearing the honored title of sons or children of God belongs to the Galatians and to all Christians only through a God-given faith in Jesus Christ. In verse 27, we are told that the claim to be sons of God is the baptismal rite by which all Christians are made one person with Jesus Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. In verse 28, our oneness with Jesus by baptism has done away with any racial, any social, any economic, or any biological distinction as far as the right to the title of sons of or children of God and the standing of sons of God or children of God for all believers. Here a comment is required by the current feminist argument that women qualify for a call into the office of the public ministry on the basis of Galatians 3:28. There is therefore now neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. First, it should be noted that there is absolutely, absolutely no reference in Galatians 3 to the public ministry of the gospel in the Christian church. Absolutely none. Secondly, Paul's comments, as well as all that he writes in chapter 3 of this epistle, are applicable only to qualifications for membership in the universal priesthood of all believers. And finally, Lutheran theology has always held to the proper distinction between the law and the gospel, as well as to the proper distinction between the priesthood of all believers and the unique office of the public ministry. And may we never forget that authentic Christian teaching is based on sound biblical exegesis, together with the proper distinctions and the proper definitions required by the sacred text. The concluding verse, verse 29, notes that our union with Jesus Christ has made us the seed of Abraham, and as such we become heirs and partakers of the promise that God made to Abraham 430 years before the law was given through Moses. It is our being yoked to Jesus through our baptism that frees us from the yoke of bondage to the law delivered to Israel by Moses. Like the Galatians, you and I also stand at the intersection of two roads. One road is called the law, the other is called the gospel. The basic question is, which road shall we take? It's impossible to travel both roads at the same time, because the two roads lead in different directions. Paul in Galatians 3 leaves us no doubt as to the way that alone leads to eternal life, peace, joy, and salvation. Only the road marked gospel, the hearing of faith, leads us to this destination. Abraham and his covenant of gospel promise have historical as well as theological priority over the law of Moses. God's word to us is not our deeds for him that hold, it is not our deeds for him that hold place of priority in the Christian religion. It's God's promise to us. God's gospel promise, as kept by our Lord Jesus Christ, alone entitles us to that grand title, sons or children of God. Therefore, may we be found walking the gospel path, and only this path, all the days of our lives through this present evil world, as we continue to look for the blessings of the age to come. God grant it, that we may never forget this, for Jesus' sake. Amen.